Our gospel lesson today is from John 21. Hear this word of God for you today. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself this way. Gathered there together were Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. And Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." They said, "We'll go with you." So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood there on the beach, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. And he said to them, "You have no fish, have you?" They said, "No." He said, "Cast that net to the right side of the boat and you will find some." And so they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in. There were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And so Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He put on clothes because he was naked. He jumped into the sea to go to Jesus. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging this net full of fish, for they were not far from land. When they had gone ashore, they saw a fire there with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net full of large fish, 153 of them. And though they were so many, the net was not torn. Then Jesus said to them, "Come have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and he took bread and gave it to them. And he did the same with the fish. And this was the third time he had appeared to the disciples after being raised from the dead. When they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." A second time, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus said, "Tend my sheep." The third time, he said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter felt hurt, because he had asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" Peter said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "So feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death which he would die to glorify God. After this, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. May anything that is blocking our vision be pulled down from our eyes so that we can see you, know you, and hear from you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So this is really an incredible story. It has a lot of power and strength for us today, and it happens after the Gospel of John seems to end in chapter 20. Now we remember what happened in chapter 20. That's when Mary goes and discovers the empty tomb, and that's when Jesus comes and appears to the disciples in that upper locked room, and then again appears when Thomas is back with them. After those stories, the gospel says this. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing you will have life in his name. Then, surprise! There's one more chapter, John 21. It may have been an afterthought, but I like to think of it as an encore, when they bring out some of the best at the very end. This may be some of the best that John has to offer for us today, because this entire story shows us just how Jesus comes to us and meets us right where we are. He did that then, and he does it now. The context of this story we all know, but it's so important to think about it. These disciples are emotionally worn out. Talk about a crazy time that they have experienced. They saw that Passover entrance into Jerusalem. They were there at the Last Supper, and then they saw Jesus arrested, crucified. 3 days later, they hear from Mary that there's an empty tomb, and then he just appears in a locked room twice. Think about that. Talk about a roller coaster of emotion. They have felt love, shock, horror, grief, and joy, all in a span of just several days. It made me wonder, what do we do? What do we do when we are emotionally overloaded? What do we do? How do we handle that? What helps us when we are grieving and confused and just overwhelmed? How do we handle it? For many people, what we do is we take one foot and put it in front of the other and just keep on going, right? Sometimes we just throw our legs over the edge of the bed and we get up, even though we may not feel like it, right? Doesn't grief and emotion sometimes send us back to do what is very familiar to us? Like just going back to work, going back to helping people? I wonder if that's what's happening here when Peter suggests that they go fishing. That's what they knew. That's familiar to them. It's been this crazy week, and maybe they're thinking we could just kind of lose ourselves out here in the boat, except they don't catch anything. The story really takes a turn at daybreak. Now remember what else happened at this time of the day. It's a reminder of the resurrection that happened while it was still dark, early on that Sunday morning. So as the sun is coming up, they see this man on the shore suggesting that they turn the nets another direction. And just like Mary Magdalene, they don't recognize him until the nets are bursting with 153 fish, which some people say, oh, that number is very meaningful. But when I read it, I just think it's abundance. It's so many fish, they could barely bring it in. It's abundance. It's so symbolic of God's grace and love that is so abundant for us. It's when they make this big catch that John says it's the Lord, and Peter jumps out to meet Jesus. And that part of the story makes me ask myself, when do we not recognize Jesus? Have you ever had a time when later you look back and say, aha, that was God. That was Jesus in my life. It makes me wonder, what does it take to open our eyes so that we see Jesus right in front of us? We see when God breaks into our lives. Here, Jesus is doing what he has done for them before, right? He feeds them. He says, come have breakfast. I love that. Come have breakfast with me. Bring some of those fish. And then he does what we remember today. He celebrates with them around a table. He feeds them fish and bread, the very same meal he fed to 5,000 people who gathered to hear him. This is Jesus meeting them right where they are. Just like Jesus meets us right where we are. He does that still today. He meets them as they're fishing. He meets them around this meal. And today, Jesus meets us too during this Holy Communion, which is so amazing. Because when we come to that table and we come to that meal, we don't have to have our lives right. We don't have to have everything together to come to the table and the meal. Jesus meets us, whoever we are, wherever we are in our lives. That's what happens with Peter. He meets Peter where he is. The one who denied him 3 times, just as he predicted. That's the one that he asks 3 times, do you love me? In other words, he's giving Peter 3 opportunities to atone for denying his Lord and friend. In Greek, there are four different words for love. The English language is kind of slim on some words that are in Greek and Hebrew, where they have lots of words for the same thing, but we have the same word love for I love pizza and I love God. Same word. In Greek, there's eros, a romantic love, storge, parental love, philia, brotherly love, and agape, unconditional love. And there's a great book about these four loves called The Four Loves by C.S. Lewis. What's interesting is that if you look at the original language of this, the Greek, Jesus starts by asking Peter, "Do you agape love me?" And Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, you know I philia love you." Jesus asks again, "Do you agape love me?" And Peter says, "Oh, you know I philia love you." But the third time, Jesus just meets him right where he is. Jesus says, "Do you philia love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I do." And then what does Jesus ask of Peter? He asks him to feed the lambs, tend the sheep, feed the sheep, and finally to follow him. In other words, Jesus is putting this call on Peter's life. He's commissioning Peter as really a shepherd. Just like Jesus has already said that he is the good shepherd in John 10, here he's commissioning Peter to be a shepherd as well. And that's what we heard in the book of Acts. The beginning of another commissioning of Saul, who will become the Apostle Paul. Just like Peter, Jesus meets Saul right where he is on that road to Damascus, despite his horrible, despicable life. Saul's on the road continuing his persecution of Christians. That was his job. That's what he was doing. And Jesus appears and says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he blinds Saul so that he will open his eyes to a new life. As what? A shepherd, a pastor, a preacher. Saul is renamed Paul, and he goes to preach the good news instead of persecuting Christians. He starts bringing people to follow Jesus. And when you read throughout that book of Acts, you just see all about his journeys, all of his mission trips, all of the ways that he founds churches, he writes letters, he visits believers far and wide. And just as Jesus tells Peter that he will die an untimely death, tradition says that Peter was crucified upside down. Paul will be persecuted too. He will be imprisoned, beaten, shipwrecked. He will struggle with this ongoing disability that he calls a thorn in his side. And Jesus has already said to his followers that the greatest love is to lay down one's life for a friend. And he foreshadows that for Peter. These followers of Jesus, they don't abandon their faith. Why is that? Why is that? They had every reason to abandon their faith after they saw Jesus crucified and dead. They don't abandon their faith because of Jesus' faith in them. His promise to them helps them keep their faith. How do we keep our faith? What does all this mean to us today? How does Jesus meet us where we are? Jesus does meet us. He meets us in the Word of God, which in John's Gospel, Jesus is the Word of God. And John 20 tells us the power of God's Word. Jesus meets us in communion. He meets us at the table. Today, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper and we share the bread and the cup, we are literally meeting our Savior, Jesus. We're communing with him. We're being united with Christians everywhere. And as we're fed at this table, we are reminded of our calling to care for the people around us, to feed the lambs, tend the sheep, feed the sheep, follow Jesus. You know, in many traditions, this right here would be called an altar. In our tradition, we actually call it the Lord's table. The same reason that we decorate with an empty cross, not a crucifix that depicts Jesus on the cross. We do not call that an altar because we believe that Jesus' sacrifice was once and for all. It was the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus' death on the cross is what saved us. And we were saved by that death over 2,000 years ago. Then he was raised from death, and so we honor an empty cross, and we celebrate communion at the Lord's table, remembering how Jesus continued to give himself even after the resurrection, how he found them around a table. Remember the road to Emmaus when their eyes were opened as he broke bread with them? And here we heard about him cooking breakfast for them on the shore. Something else that's so important in the story is that we learn in this story that it's not enough for our faith to just say we love Jesus. It's not enough for our faith to just believe it in our minds. Did you catch that with Peter? Jesus says, "Do you love me?" And immediately he tells him to show that love by feeding the sheep. It's not enough for us to just say we believe in Jesus. It's not enough for us to just think we believe in Jesus. Jesus wants us to put our faith into action. We are called to live out our love for Christ by serving and loving and caring for others. Which reminds me of so many saints in this church who serve and care for others. It reminds me of Phil, who we celebrated yesterday, and his care and love for others. That's what it means to follow Jesus. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says to Peter, "Follow me." He's talking about a totally new way of life, a total calling, and a calling to service. There's an Episcopalian church called St. Bede's in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And just like our sanctuary, they have the one main door in and out of the sanctuary. And over the door is a plaque, and it says, "The Servant's Entrance." The Servant's Entrance. That's the way in and out of that sanctuary. Isn't that perfect? That's our calling, to be servants of one another. Author Philip Yancey noted that near the end of his life, Albert Einstein removed two big portraits of two scientists, Newton and Maxwell, from his wall. He told everybody that he was replacing them with two new portraits of Gandhi and Albert Schweitzer. And when asked why he did that, he explained that, well, it's time to replace the image of success with an image of service. That's what kind of Lord we believe in. One who calls us to put our faith into action, to feed the sheep, to serve, to care, to love. That is the good news of the gospel. If we love Jesus, we not only follow him, but we shepherd, we serve, and we love in his name. And to that, all God's people said, Amen. Friends, please stand and let us affirm.